David Roos. That's right. Living in Cologne, BC. He's been a pastor recently, just planted a church, and he'll tell you a little bit maybe about that in Hollywood, and has just left that church in shame. It's shameful, I'm saying, because you know he had to leave them, but there in Hollywood, also planted a church in Winnipeg, and I've known him for a long time as a big-time musician. I mean, you know, I see him on TV sometimes late at night. Late on the late-night television, used to be on earlier, but in that era, I want to just welcome a dear friend of mine, and what a joy it is to have you here with us in Conroe. Give a big hand. Praise the Lord.
I'm just super relieved. I saw the advertisements, and I thought this morning you were introduced. I thought this was the morning with Mr. Bunny. Totally freaking out. Like, how do I pull this off? So I'm glad to know. I'm not Mr. Bunny, so that's something I just want to clear up. What's the pop? What would that be a pop? It's really great just to be here. I kept asking Raven and Teresa to bring me out, invite me out, and just kind of pushed it off for years and years. Finally, they put that extension on their house, and they thought, okay, now we can squeeze the little white man in the back. So I'm really glad to be here.
You got big shoulders.
I got big shoulders. So it's simply, it's just great to be here. One of the fun things, I don't know how long you've kind of been in the life of this community. Some of you might be fairly new, others probably been around for years, but we're part of a family, a community of churches that kind of is scattered around the world called the Vineyard. And it's just great to be here as family. I mean, really, that's just kind of how I'm here. And just out of relationship and friendship. One of the kind of most frightening and comforting things Jesus ever said, from my perspective, was one day he's looking out over the crowds and he gave this little piece of advice. He said, "Beware of the experts." And I was like, that's like really good advice. So I'm not here as an expert. I'm not here in any kind of capacity other than just so grateful that you've given me the opportunity just to share with you my life and who I am and some of the music. Man, you guys like to worship. If you're a few little harmonies, just kind of like leave it in there. Keep courageously moving down that trail of singing and song. Hard not to have worship deeply embedded in a community and a movement like ours that values so much, and you end up with a crazy sleepy Ray for the driver of this thing. It's hard not to get some music bleeding on through the bars, but it's great. So I was kind of fun. It was interesting. I was thinking about, you know, what can I share? What can I? Because it's like, for me, I feel, you know, there's very little authority that you can carry outside of trust and relationship. Does that kind of make sense? We try to muscle kind of authority from another place. Just, to me, it just kind of always feels a bit sideways. So it was kind of fun as I was just praying and just kind of trying to think, can I just, you know, say to the community today that would be meaningful? I really did feel my heart and my mind, everything just kind of tugged and pulled to a text in Galatians. So I think you've got it in some notes in front of you. If you like to open your own Bible or bring it up digitally or however you do it, it's Galatians 6. And we're going to kind of work through this text. But just hanging out with the team, which was such a fun experience. I can't remember all the names, so I'm not even going to try to go all there. But just hanging out in Raven's office and kind of knocking the text around. What's the best way to say? Do you know they do that? This is kind of cool. I really like that. So it was fun just to be part of that exercise a little bit. And it was just so reassuring to me that the Lord just pulled me to this text of Galatians. At least some part, I don't know how recent in the history of the kind of the rhythms of teaching and reflection in this community. You work through the book of Galatians. How many of you remember that? Like, were you part of that? So some of you.
Wow.
And
yes, it's time to do it again.
It's time to do it again. I think so. But it's fun just because you kind of feel that, okay, maybe there's something kind of synergizing here. Like there's something kind of connected. And so as we kind of come to this text together, we're all as a, you know, a family, community, just trying to put our ear to the ground and hear what the Spirit is saying. Does that sound good? So these are just some thoughts and reflections that come out of this text. And maybe some of my story will bleed through that as well. And we'll just see how we can kind of be here for each other. In our church plant in Hollywood, one thing we love to say is we're in a pretty hostile environment to religion and to church. It's significantly different culturally here. You kind of have, this is just my perspective, kind of landed here from the outside. You're kind of lopsided on the other side, like everybody's a church goer. Like it's sort of that's its whole own set of cultural challenges. Does that make sense? You know, because and in Southern California, we've kind of ended up, we lived there for 11 years, as Raymond said, we just left in the last 2 months, handed over the Vineyard community there in Hollywood, which is doing great, thriving and everything, but we were kind of on the whole other side of the spectrum, where I mean, people, you know, church and anything, it just sounds even Christianese or religious at all. It's just like, you know, get away from it. So we tried to think, how can we, like, and this actually might be helpful, even in a culture like this, like, what is this thing all about? Like, how can we sort of capture why we should come together? You know, how do we redeem the concept that it's actually okay to gather together in a space together and worship and try to focus on God and hear some teaching and that sort of thing? But kind of this little phrase, I don't know if this is helpful, just I'm thinking about it. We get together because we can't make it. And it's kind of like more about that. And of course, at the bullseye of that gathering for us, another little phrase we would use in Hollywood is like, Jesus isn't in the fine print. You know? Like, we're okay to wrestle. You know, maybe we call ourselves, you know, if in our neighborhood, we lived in up in the north part of Los Angeles, a neighborhood called Tahunga, which was a great, but why we moved there was just an incredible collision of economics and race and perspectives and just this, it feels a little bit like here, like a little bit like Congo, like just this swirly mix of everything. We just love plopping down in the middle of it. But if we would have stood in our street and called ourselves Christians, it would close the door to conversations that we could have. So we just kind of, you know, not trying to be hip or vogue, and then actually found out later some other people were kind of using this kind of just to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. And that kind of, you know, and so you're kind of in this milieu and just trying to really, it was kind of a good exercise because it really forced us to kind of get back to just some of the real, what's this really about? And I think Galatians 6 kind of brings us there. So I just want to just bring some encouragement out of this text. And I think you guys are real. Sometimes we can feel the pressure to be sort of pretentious or compare ourselves with other churches or communities or things like that. We need to go through all kinds of inner reflection and evaluation and stuff. It's absolutely critical. But I know that sounds kind of simple, but I just do really want to thank you for sticking it out here in Palm. Being present in this community. It's really maybe more significant than we realize. Does that make sense? I'm not super great at like always being in tune, you know, with God and the Holy Spirit, but I kind of sense His presence, right? Danger, you know, having this microphone is you can kind of sometimes create an atmosphere or manipulate an environment with this thing. So I don't want to ever do that, but I think let's just wait for a moment. We're just gonna pray and we'll go to this text and just trust that. Probably needs a second. So if you're comfortable with this, let's just open our hands. I never do what the guy with the microphone says, so if you don't do it, I totally get it. I'm totally fine. If you would join me, if you're not for it, it's just, Lord, we just open our hands in your presence. And we just start thankful. Man, what a crazy thing, God. Here we are in this building and on this corner, and we just want to acknowledge today that this is your church. And as a community, we just submit ourselves once again to your leadership, however you would lead us today. Lord, you speak in that quiet inner place through text today, Lord, through the scriptures, through however you want to just grab our attention. We say yes. I don't know why you value this so much, Lord, but it makes me trust you all the more that you don't beat this into our consciousness. You'll be present. Sometimes you're very strong and a little scary, but you're always wooing us and calling us forward. And so let these hands just be a sign, Lord, that we want to receive. We're not good at it. Some of us are pretty jacked up, and there's all kinds of things that get in the way of receiving, but our desire is to receive from you. And thank you so much, God, that you honor that request. A broken heart, you do not deny. A contrite spirit, you'll never turn away. When we ask for mercy, you will extend it. Come, Holy Spirit. I had a really crazy experience this last Pentecost Sunday. I don't even know what, whenever that falls in the calendar. Can you see me? Am I tall enough? I'm not sure if I'm seeing me. I'm here. So I was standing in this old, currently an Anglican church, but it actually predated the flagstones I was standing on in this church in a place called Worcester. In the United Kingdom, in England, standing on flagstones that dated back to the 300s. And it was an ancient Saxon church that was built right at the crossing of a couple of rivers, you know, pretty strategic place for the development of civilization and trade routes and all that. And they plopped this little church right there, and it was the weirdest thing to be standing on Pentecost Sunday on these stones that are, you know, 1,700 years old, like stuck down in the ground. And you're going, you know, with all the ups and downs and all the mistakes and all the screw-ups and all the crash and burns and all the ins and outs and ups and downs of church history, it's still there. Like that's what was like blowing me away. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I think Jesus really is building something that the gates of hell can't prevail against. And it's so incredible, you know, even in some of you that maybe, you know, are a little more, you like to read and kind of explore out into kind of things like theology and etc. There's a lot of swirl and discussion right across culture today of, you know, what's relevant, what's not relevant, you know, all of this stuff. And it's kind of funny, I kind of sit in the midst of this, and I love that kind of sparring and interaction, and, you know, I'm not afraid of questions. I don't think God's afraid of questions. I think he loves questions. He loves that, you know, that heart that loves to explore. Sometimes we freak out with it a little bit more than I think he does, but it's just wonderful just to sit in the midst of it and go, you know what, this thing isn't actually resting on us anyway. God's a way better leader than I am a follower, and I think that's great news, isn't it? He's relentless in continuing to get my attention, and it's just amazing wherever I go, you know, in the world, to discover the church. I don't mean the institution. I mean you and me. I mean the people. You know, there's this crazy little community up at 15,000 feet in the Himalayan mountains. I've trekked up there, and there's a little vineyard community up there, a few hundred people now, and a bunch of kids from Vancouver, British Columbia, just were up there. They couldn't speak the language. They couldn't anything, but they just knew they were carrying the kingdom of heaven, and they just prayed for the sick. And just very simply, there wasn't like any massive outward demonstrations of power, but the long and the short of it is, the village leader, who was a Tibetan Buddhist monk. Now, don't let Richard Gere fool you. Buddhism is, I mean, it's pretty dark stuff. Like, when you get into the real stuff, I've sat and had conversations with Buddhists that are like levitating, like over the ground. This ain't no Chris Angel stuff. This is like, you know, the real deal. It's kind of like just kind of freaky stuff. This guy, his daughter was miraculously healed of an intestinal disorder. And, you know, he's like just rapping on the hut door in the morning, just kind of, you know, they're not sure if he's upset. They don't know if they've done anything wrong. They can't even understand the language. They have one of the vineyard people from the vineyard in Kathmandu, Nepal, who's trekked up with them, and he knows enough English to kind of, you know, try to do some translation and stuff. The long and the short of it, the guy just abandons his life into the hands of Jesus. It's just amazing. I mean, wasn't like out of any great prowess. It's just like following the leading of the Holy Spirit and watching him build the church. It's like it was so fun to watch the church emerge in a context like that. We could have brought, and I believe the Bible, absolutely, we're going to a text today. This is a deep value to me. But I could have brought, I could have brought a stack of Bibles to these people, and it wouldn't have meant anything because they can't read. How do you plant a church with illiterate people? Not dumb people. Like, do not equate illiteracy with stupidity. These are some of the most brilliant, innovative, winsome. I mean, I've learned more from the people up in those mountains than any conference I've ever sat in, if I want to be brutally honest with you. So this isn't about intellectualism or importance or status or anything. But they can't read. They can't write. They've never been taught. And just their dependence on the Holy Spirit. Why am I saying all this? I don't know, because I'm ADD and my mind is just wandering. No, but it's like, I think there's a point here. We got to trust that God is really up to something. That's beyond who we are. That doesn't disengage us. That doesn't take us out of the equation by any means. But it really changes the way we posture ourselves and what we're building together. Does that make sense? And so, as we go to this Galatians text, hopefully there's just a couple. Yeah, I gave into these a few months ago.
They look good.
I know, it looks amazing, doesn't it? I'll pause for any Twitter pictures or Facebook shots right now. Bring it up. Shut up. All right, here we go. That was bad. That would work in Hollywood. I'm sorry, but that's not a Texas thing. We're fine? Oh, good. I'm relieved. Oh, thank you. I thought you said a new Raymond. Yeah. I bought a new Raymond. So I spent some time. Building a community of grace. Here's a little snapshot. I'm just going to read it, and then we'll go into the Galatians text. church picture of the dynamics that starts happening when the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are carving out space where the church begins to be what it's supposed to be. All the believers were one in heart and mind. And that's kind of fascinating. No one claimed, this is really difficult, we're about to collide with the American dream here, but no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now, I'll just pause here and we'll unpack it just a little bit out of the lens of Galatians. Sharing and giving are two entirely different postures. Let's let that sink in a little bit. I can give and be completely disengaged from that exchange, right? I can give my tithe, I can give my time, I can give my offering, I can give my gifts, I can serve from a vantage point of giving, which is how a lot of the institutional church has ended up over the last, you know, however many decades. It's kind of the way we operate, like, because life is busy. Life can be hard sometimes. And our lives become kind of self-contained. I mean, that's kind of the goal, isn't it? In most of our cultures and societies. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of communistic thing. I'm not talking about socialism. I'm talking about a posture of the heart that's different, right? Not something that is institutionalized, but a posture of my heart that allows other people in. See, because if I give someone my car to use, that's a totally different thing than sharing my car. Does that make sense? Now all of a sudden, their kids drool and whatever on the back seat, I might have to clean up because we're sharing. Something really, really special happens when God carves out his life inside of us and we begin to die. But as Jesus said, it's a death that actually brings life. Sharing, it's a fascinating thing. There's a professor at the University of Los Angeles, UCLA, who's in the religious department there. He's not a follower of Jesus, wouldn't call himself a Christian, but he's fascinated by Christian history and the biblical texts and all that. There's many people like that in the academic world. He did a significant study. A friend of mine has the papers. He took his course, and his assessment, as someone just a complete objective observer of the trajectory of early Christianity, his assessment is this: as he just looks at the historical documents and figures out how the church was emerging in the early world, he says, for about the first 300 years of church history, almost 100% of the offerings that were taken in the life of the church were given to the poor.
Amen.
Well, how did local communities survive? How did they make it work? How did they get buildings when they needed buildings? How did they share? It's different. So that's the kind of stuff that just kind of, I'm just trying to, you know, I stood in Los Angeles, we're going to plant a church, and in my kitchen, I'm going, God, it's like, some days I'm 4 hours stuck on freeways. Like, how are we ever going to do this thing? I don't know how to. I mean, it's no wonder that the default just goes to, let's just run a great meeting once a week. And I'm not opposed to that. I think it does have impact. It's valuable in some people's journey of faith. But I'm not sure it takes us here. Does that make sense? They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Many commentators, as they unpack this text, there's something going on in the original language here where the power is directly connected to the life in community. They believed that Jesus rose from the dead because of the community that they saw emerging. Does that make sense? There is a direct correlation between the power of the message. Sometimes we as charismatics get, we see the word power and we automatically take it to miraculous signs and wonders. There was an element of that that was going on, but in this particular text, it's talking about the power of the message of the resurrection. But there's no power in the message without the community that's living out the evidence that Jesus has changed us forever. Does that kind of make sense? There is a community of grace that emerges. Earlier in the book of Galatians, Paul has talked about the amazing time of baptism, literal water baptism, where he says people go down into the water, they come up clothed in Christ, and he says the evidence that we've encountered God is that now people look at the community, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no Hispanic, there's no black, there's no white, there's no Asian. It's like this incredible miracle that has birthed in the midst of a culture that is fractured and divided and polarized and fighting. There's a miracle that takes place, and they go, oh my goodness, maybe Jesus really is alive. But there's no evidence of the resurrection without a community that emerges. Maybe, could it be, this is kind of what Jesus was thinking about when he said, people will know you're my disciples or people that really follow me by what? The way we love each other. Standing in the swirl of Los Angeles in a pretty hostile environment, I hear the indictment over and over and over. You're just a bunch of hypocrites. In fact, I got hurt more in the church than I did anywhere else, and I go back there. It neuters the power of the message. And when the power of the message of the resurrection of Christ kind of loses its strength, we've got to go to other things, right? Make it feel good. Give some great talks on, you know, positive stuff. And that's not all bad, I'm not saying, but we've got to go to other messages, right, when there's no community that's helping us. We might be able to fill stadiums and still not have community. We might be able to run some great programs and have some awesome. Again, I'm not pinning one thing against the other. I think, can you feel my heart? But there's, if we really are serious about tapping into what hell cannot prevail against, we've got to be willing to go here. And there's no way forward into this without dying to self. Oh crap, I'm not even out of the intro text. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it all at the apostles' feet, not so that the apostles can drive a Cadillac, but they had. Look at this. This will give you an insight into what my understanding of New Testament apostolic ministry is. It comes to the feet of the apostles. And what did they do? Then they distributed it to where? What? That means the apostles really knew the people. They actually knew where there was need. They knew it in such a deep way that they were able to administer material wealth that was coming into the context of community and getting it to those who really needed it. One thing that we did, it's just a simple idea that's not right or wrong or no one else needs to do it. We just thought, you know, if we're going to be really serious about this in the crazy swirl of LA, we're going to stand together and we're just going to give 30% away of the budget, like from the get-go, to need in the community, around the community, poor, to a kid who, you know, can't pay his rent, you know, let's just try to That alone has had so much impact in what has gathered around us. And there's this amazing ability to stand together in faith. It's a really multi-ethnic community. It's multi-economic. I was telling some people in one of the sessions we were having over the weekend, one of the favorite ways to describe what began to develop for the Vineyard in Hollywood was we have a lot of recognizable celebrity in the group, but we like to say this. We go, the poor are not a photo op, the rich are not to be exploited, and the famous not taken advantage of. All the margins are welcome. And we find these incredible relationships that are happening amongst the impoverished from the streets and the celebrities have watched how we've treated the poor with dignity and they felt safe. Like we're not gonna grab them like a trophy and kind of lift them up as a testimony and you know kind of use them or leverage their funds or their fame to make our church bigger. Isn't that crazy? We had a guy standing towards the back, and he's recognizable. I'd never say these things publicly. I just have made that commitment to our community, like names and stuff. So I don't want to use them. The point of the story isn't about him. It's him standing there, and he goes, you know, this place is the only church I know of where I get up to go to the restroom, and I come back, and my chair's been taken by a homeless person. And it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, that is what we're at. That's the snapshot. So Galatians 6, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We know that Galatians is about grace, which is really what we're talking about, is a community that flows in, that breathes, that is trying to cultivate grace out of the heart of God. When everything else says no, God says yes. That's grace. I'm too screwed up, God. You can't lose me. I can't be saved. That's how we all get in, right? But he says, no, step forward. Step towards me, and I will do a miracle. I say yes to you. Yeah, but I'm this, I'm that, or we're in the wrong part of Texas, or we're in the wrong town, or we're in the wrong whatever, or we're in the wrong church, or the wrong pastor, the wrong wife, we're always going there. Let's just slow down. Find the pocket of grace that says yes, not in some external positive confession that we've got to work up and hype and can never sustain, but in the deep place where we need to be secured and loved. Yeah. And know God's yes resonates there. When that's bleeding through a community, when there's grace in the community, it displays itself in authentic community. We've already described kind of the material impact of this. Man, isn't this amazing? If someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, restore them. How? You can't get there without grace. When has the church ever been described as gentle? Wouldn't that be a cool thing to be known as? A gentle people. Which doesn't minimize strength, it doesn't minimize impact. But there's something about a gentle person. Isn't that amazing? And it creates an atmosphere, and it creates a space where we feel safe enough to come out of ourselves and be present in community. It's the only way we can share. Does that kind of make sense? God's really good at this. Called incarnation. We think to be more spiritual, we escape. Whereas the pathway of God is always deeper into the human condition and the human story. Jesus says, follow me here. Not up to some esoteric escape, like sort of monastery out the hills where you're running around in the third heavens or whatever you want to do. It's like I'm not minimizing spiritual experiences. But where it manifests, where the true church is seen, is as we push deeper into each other's lives. That's where Jesus goes, isn't he? And it confused so many people. he moves deeper in to flesh and blood. Community of grace shares life together. Or I guess that's the first point. Go over to the page here. A community of grace values each member. Look at this. God says, if anyone thinks there is something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all the things of the word. So quickly, because we're almost right at 12 here. We have this concept here, this sharing in community. Carry each other's burdens. Did you read that in the text there? The word for burden there was used in the culture of the time of a massive, massive, massive stone that if it fell on you, it would just crush you. Like, there's no way to carry this thing by yourself. We've got to understand there are things in life, there are things in circumstance, there are things in people's histories. We're all wired differently, and there's some burdens you just can't carry by yourself. Just because you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and made it work doesn't mean another person always can. There are burdens that we need to carry together. And wherever we land in the political spectrum and all the discussion that's going across, you know, across our culture, both in Canada and the United States right now, I think we're all in agreement. The church is really the only answer for whatever's going on. We've got to figure this out, people. Or the power of the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus will be mute in our culture. We will not be able to address the larger issues of society and culture and law and all of the other dynamics if we're not have integrity at the grassroots level of community. It's the voice of the church. It what gives us authority to speak. Does that make sense? And that's apart from, it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. We've got to be able to go here. Is that fair to say? That would be my encouragement. There are burdens that are too big to carry. I'm adopted. It came up, I just found out about my birth mother, like it's a crazy thing. I, for whatever reason, for me, that didn't blow the wheels off my bus. Like, I'm discovering some great things about what it means to be in blood family now. I mean, it's amazing. It's blowing my mind. My sister, who was also adopted, we're not from blood, that load was too big for her to figure out on her own. And it was really hard for her. The community of grace allows us to look at these two stories and walk with the person, not the situation alone.
Yeah.
And so, in where we are in the text now, each should carry his own load. This is a totally different word than that other burden. It's the word for a backpack. That's why in the notes you'll see, you know, the boulder in the backpack. There's a backpack. There's things that you're just wired and designed to carry, and the text says, carry it. Like, don't be lazy. Don't just kind of like acquiesce out, because there is grace in the community to carry. Because if you're not carrying your own load, you're taking away from the resource that maybe someone else does need. Does that kind of make sense? And again, this isn't just in material stuff. This is in spiritual growth. This is in discipleship. This is in service. And it says, bring to the table who you are. Don't think higher of yourself than you should, and don't think lower of yourself than you should. Don't compare yourself to each other, the text says. So we step into community, as the notes say, with this full awareness that we all have something valuable. Like in who you are right now. Where you're at in your journey of faith, you have something to bring to the table of the Conroe Vineyard. This is incredible. This is amazing. And seasons ebb and flow. I mean, this is where that's we've got to be in each other's lives and know what's going on. It's a community that values each member of their contribution. So look at the last bit of the text here. Here's where we end. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. In the text. Don't be afraid.
I'm going to lose out. Someone else is going to get more than their fair share. If I open my life and my resources, what's going to happen to my kids? They're going to be exposed to people they shouldn't be exposed to. I mean, it goes on and on. There's all kinds of wise boundaries and long discussions here, but how are we going to unpack this in 25, 30 minutes? But God will not be mocked. When you sow to the Spirit, Jesus said it like this: seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. It's really scary to stand in the cost of living and the expense of buildings and rent and space and all kinds of stuff in Hollywood and go, you know what, we're just going to give 30% of it to see. I don't want to, hype some great miraculous stories of, we don't have millions of dollars in the bank or anything. We haven't made that our goal either. There's always been enough to care and to carry the boulder and the backpack. God will not be mocked. The original language is called. This mocking is like you just turn your nose. I know the text is there. I know that. But you know what? I don't think that's relevant in my scenario, in my situation. I can take this text. I can take that verse. I can kind of like, that's kind of the posture of the text. That's this mocking. So he's speaking to people that are in Christian faith. He's not talking about people that are atheists or whatever. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who have really committed their lives to follow God, but we kind of pick and choose the parts of the text that we want. That's mocking. God won't be mocked. You will reap what you sow. So don't become weary of doing good. Don't give up. There is a harvest if we don't give up. So let's do good to everybody. Especially to the house of faith, because this is the testimony of our life together that gives power to the message of the resurrection, right? But do good to everyone. God won't be mocked. I know I'm a bit over here. I'm so sorry, but the story's just coming to my head of a good friend. Some of you might know this name. Have you heard of the lady Jackie Pullinger? She's part of our Vineyard family. She lives in Hong Kong. Like, it's a crazy story. She's actually known as the Mother Teresa of Protestant Christianity. The Queen of England, knighted her, or whatever they do, about 4 or 5 years ago. The communist government. So they, I don't know if you know this, Hong Kong was under British rule for 100 years, and then the contract was up, and Hong Kong went back into the hands of the Chinese. There was an area called the Walled City where Jackie was working for years and years amongst the poorest of the poor, heroin addicts, prostitutes, the dregs and the drudge of society that was just cast away as absolutely useless. See, now take grace into that application. Everyone else said no over those people's lives. God said,
yes.
She tapped into that grace. There's a monument resurrected to Jackie's story because the Walled City is now gone. It's a park. By the Chinese government. And here's what it says on the plaque to this essence. It won't be a direct quote. Young girl Jackie Pullinger gets off the boat in 60-something, and brought the message of Jesus Christ to the Walled City. This is the communist. The power, the testimony of the resurrection is evidenced through community. It's undeniable when you see lives change and people living in harmony and unity that can't live in harmony in every other context. We need the church. We stand on those flagstones, 1,700 years old. God is relentless in building this thing because it's what the church, it's what the world needs to see. It's how they see Jesus. We carry something awesome. This is amazing. How you love each other, how you live together, how you share, how you work through issues of sin, how you care. carry need together, how you engage across ethnic lines, how you respond to the changing community around you as more Hispanic community increases around, how you posture yourself and treat and care and love will have a direct impact on the power of the testimony of the resurrection. So Jackie, got to finish that story, I lost it. Maybe it was just that testimony. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Watch yourselves. For you also will attempt to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all his things with the instructor. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And that's not just what we classify as worldly behavior. It just means my own comfort. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary. In doing good, for the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family. So, Holy Spirit, just come upon us. I just pray that you put the power of the Holy Spirit in us and grace upon us to walk this out and not. And I just want to pray specifically, there might be some other ministry. I think we'll do lots of ministry tonight that might be a little more towards like personal ministry, but I do feel if there's anyone that this community gig, however you define it and however you've experienced it, it just got hard to give up. And it just felt easier to just kind of go and isolate there. Just attend the meeting. I don't want to engage. I don't want to bring who I am to the table. Maybe you've been misunderstood, or maybe you just got tired. Maybe you got burned out for valid reasons, you know, but the solution is not to isolate. Your way up front, I think we can engage together as a community and just lift some of that. I think it's Saul today in this sermon, just that courageous step. You know, I'm not going to hide anymore. That was her. Just want to find shared life with just a few people. I want to trust them. Making myself vulnerable to that step now. Please come, Holy Spirit. We call you out and say each one has something to bring to the table. The Conroe Vineyards. And carry it together. Prayer, it's just to confidence and trust has kind of been chipped away as you think God can be mocked. And maybe even the way you're assessing your life's experience right now, God did end up getting mocked. I thought you were going to pull through on this and you didn't at all. And he's just helping you let go and maybe see from a different perspective. And you've given up because of that. And you just need courage to know that God will not be mocked. There is a harvest. And Lord, just say wherever we go in the kingdom of heaven, wherever we end up, we're welcomed, and I've been welcomed here. I'm so thankful for that, just to leave a blessing. So, Lord, I just pray blessing on this community. I pray blessing down in this house. I pray just blessing and grace to shower down. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just let your kingdom come. Manifest yourself. So I just need some help from the staff over here. Just introduce your team. Thank you so much for giving me grace to do a little basketball here.
The Holy Spirit is moving still, and I think the call that David's put out here is more prevalent than a few of us. I know coming down is difficult sometimes, and some of you will be coming down and leaving. We will continue ministering even as I release you. And for some, it's not receiving person, just want to come stand in front and be refreshed. Some of you have felt the foot put back in you today, and you don't want it, and you're trying to pull that hook out because you don't want to sign up again. And I understand that. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to come and to, with his power. This time he says, you're not going to burn out because it's my power. You did it on your power last time, it's on my power this time. And yes, you saw people get you to carry their backpack. So you got mad and put that down. But the Lord said there's a lot of boulders that are being left on the shoulders of people. And calling us as leaders, calling this, it's just not as leaders, it's people who have matured in Christ Jesus to step back in and begin to walk and to offer ourselves up as that living sacrifice, as Paul would write. So I say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, because we cannot exist and have no need to exist. We cannot call for power if we're not willing to offer ourselves up as the instrument to which your power works through. Nor will we expect the power to come and move on our lives, for you are not. Come, Holy Spirit. Your power moves through your community. And we say yes. Yes, Lord, even as you've said yes to us, we say yes to you. We say, come, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray over you and bless you, release you, and I know I will see you tonight because we're going to do more ministry. Let even tonight be a time that you say yes. And then someone will come down and continue ministering. Come, Holy Spirit. I bless you now in the name of the Father. Father, would you let your face shine upon them? Shine in a way that many have not felt in a while. They would see your glory, see your presence. Oh, Jesus, if you would bless them with such a knowledge of your redeeming blood and your grace. Would you be blessed in the name of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you just draw near and awaken those things which have been seemingly dead? Come with grace. Come with grace. Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're going to continue.